You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
And just like that, we are down to one race here in the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series season, as NASCAR makes a return to Daytona International Speedway. 17 drivers have an opportunity to make their way into the playoffs. There's only one spot available. Who's going to make it in? We're going to talk about our top fantasy picks, as well as some news that happened this week, that and more in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Ooh, I'm not going to lie, guys. Hopefully I sound decent here in this episode. I am really getting my butt kicked by allergies. It's weird. I live in the freaking desert, so you feel like there's not that much pollination here, but believe me, there is, with all the weeds and crap that you get all around the outside the city. And the last couple of days I've been sounding really good, like I've had no problems at all. And then yesterday, man, it just felt like I was underwater. It was just brutal. My voice is still a little bit off, but it's slowly but surely getting better, you know. I'm just hoping that I can actually breathe for the rest of the day. So if my voice is a little monotone, that is the main reason why. That's still not going to kill my morale, because this is going to be one of the craziest races of the year. I can feel it. I said that about Watkins Glen. Unfortunately, we were wrong about that one, but we're not going to be wrong about this one. Daytona International Speedway, the wild card race before the NASCAR playoffs. And let me tell you, there's a lot of drivers right now on the outside looking in that a lot of people are keeping their eyes on. If you guys have been keeping track here this season, here's the drivers who are not currently locked in yet at this time. You have Bubba Wallace, who's currently in the 16th position. He currently sits 32 points above the cut line, which is a pretty good gap over Ty Gibbs, who sits in the 17th position. So I do believe if we don't get a new winner, minus Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski, it's safe to say that Bubba Wallace is going to take over that final spot for the playoffs. And the reason why it doesn't matter if Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski get the victory, because they're already locked in by points. Now, here's some drivers outside the top 16 that we should mention here. Like we said, we have the highest running rookie, the only really rookie that's competing full-time at the moment. That is Ty Gibbs. He's had himself a really good run here in the summer stretch. Unfortunately, he's still a little bit short. He needs either really good showings in both the stages and Bo Wallace to have a really bad performance here at this race, or basically gets the victory. Same thing with Daniel Suarez. He needs a lot of things to go his way, but everyone after that, they're in a must-win situation. AJ Allmendinger, a driver that I think a lot of us, including myself, thought they were going to make it in no problem, just from the road courses alone. That really hasn't been the case. But he still has had some really good runs at certain racetracks. He's really starting to figure out super speedways. I know it's not his favorite track, but Colic Racing does have a knack for super speedways, so a lot of people are excited about that. Alex Bowman, who unfortunately suffered an injury in the middle of the year, had a really strong first couple of races in the season, and then the summer stretch has just been abysmal. He's just hoping just to get something out of this weekend. And then the biggest one, Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott has only ran 18 races out of the scheduled 25 races, and there's been multiple races where he looks to be one of the top contenders, and for the most part, he has been. There's just been one car that has been slightly faster than him. The Indy Road Course, that was clearly Michael McDowell. Sonoma, that was Martin Truex Jr. I'm trying to think of some other races. There's just been one car that's been stronger than him every single time. And then, of course, that big gaffe that happened at Watkins Glen that took him out of contention. To be honest, though, I don't think he was going to be able to win that race. But now he comes here to Daytona. It's simple. Win or you're out. And he's capable of doing it. We've seen him in the past at Super Speedways. He's ran really well at these tracks before. It's just a matter of if he's going to be able to seal the deal, or it's going to be something that we've been kind of seeing all throughout the 2023 season. Makes a mistake here or there, comes up just a little bit short, and that'll be the end of the 2020 champion running for the 2023 championship. Some other drivers here in the back that we should mention, we have Austin Cindric, a past Daytona 500 winner. He sits in the 22nd position. Justin Haley, he is a past summer Daytona winner in that number 31 machine. You also got Eric Almirola, who's had a lot of success when it comes to super speedways. Corey LaJoie, he's another one in that mix. He's done good at super speedways. Same Same thing with Eric Jones and Austin Dillon. Remember last year, Austin Dillon was able to run his way into the chase thanks to a last race victory, which was absolutely huge for the number three team. Other drivers in that mix, I mean, they're not nearly as strong as the drivers mentioned beforehand, but you never know when it comes to Daytona. Anything can happen, and believe me, it's going to be absolute pandemonium when we drop the green flag later today. Now, I just checked the weather just a little bit ago, and as of right now, things look really good, and you think out of all racetracks, we'd have weather problems at Daytona, but it's going to be one of the tracks where we don't have weather problems, which is really weird to say. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get all 400 miles in, no problem, not many delays in that area. And then as far as qualifying went, we saw some really good fast times by a few drivers. The one that's sitting on the pole, this one's very interesting, the number 14, a Chase Briscoe. He had the fastest car, followed by his teammate Eric Almirola. And then row number two, you got Harrison Burton and Bubba Wallace. Then behind them, Ty Gibbs and a part-time runner here in the Cup Series, the number 36 of Riley Herbst. I really don't know what's going to happen here in this race. I keep saying that over and over, but you just got to watch this event. This is going to be absolutely crazy. We don't know what's going to happen, and I'm just super excited. There has been a bit of news that has came out here during this week that a lot of people have been talking about. The biggest ones involving a Truck Series team as well as a Cup Series team potentially reducing the amount of charters that they own. Let's talk about the Truck Series team first. Let's talk about GMS Racing. Unfortunately, it was announced by the end of the 2023 season, GMS Racing will be closing their shops, which is unbelievable. I feel terrible for that team because just a couple years ago, they had Sheldon Creed winning the Truck Series Championship. And this year, they have some pretty good drivers. They got Grant Infinger. They got the number 24 of Raja Carruth and the number 43 of Daniel Dye. Not many people expected this, but the transition from Legacy Motor Club to Toyota kind of makes sense. These guys have always been a Chevrolet team, so absolute bummer that at the end of the season, we will no longer see this Truck Series team, a team that we have seen quite a bit here in most recent times in the Truck Series. However, it sounds like some of these drivers already have contract signings for next year, so if you're a fan of Daniel Dye, don't worry. He is able to, it sounds like he has almost everything put in place for 2024. Grant Infinger and Raja Carruth, that is still up for debate, but to be honest with you, Raja Carruth is going to find a ride, and Grant Infinger more than likely is going to find a ride as well, as he's been victorious a couple times here in the last couple of years. Now, staying with the Truck Series here real quick, they are going to be running at the Milwaukee Mile, which has been a very, very long time since they ran at this racetrack, so a lot of people are excited about it. I do believe the only driver on the entry list who has ran here in the past has been Matt Crafton. I really do believe that. I'm trying to look at the numbers, but yeah, all these drivers are younger drivers or drivers who were not racing in the Truck Series at that time. He is the last one in this mix who has raced there before. So basically everyone's going to be rookies, but there was one person on the entry list that really caught my attention, and that was the number 21 machine driven by Dexter Bean for Black Jack Racing. This is crazy. I never thought this team would return, and if you guys have watched my TikToks, I said it was a team that we'd never ever see again. I described them as one of the worst teams in NASCAR ever because of their Cup Series run. It was pretty abysmal, but they hear that Milwaukee comes back, and they're like, you know what? We're going to run in this event, and that absolutely shocked me. So best of luck to them. They really got a stacked house here with the drivers who are trying to make it into this race. Only one truck is going to miss the event. Which one will that be? Hopefully, it's not Black Jack Racing as they make their return with Dexter Bean in the 21. In the Xfinity Series, we just got done with the Xfinity Series race. I'll talk about that in Monday's episode. I want to separate that from these fantasy picks, but I will not separate the fact that there was some big announcements here as far as sponsorships and drivers for next year. Sponsorships for this year, we have SciApps, you know, the sponsorship that usually sponsors CJ McLaughlin. Well, it looks like they're going to be sponsoring Ryan Sieg for the remainder of the 2023 season for RSS Racing. I think that's a great announcement for Ryan Sieg and that team, because I do believe the last few races that 39 car has been running unsponsored, so they definitely needed somebody to step in, and having SciApps, a company that's been around NASCAR for the last couple of years, that's going to be very important for that team to advance forward. Although I don't see them making it into the playoffs, at least they're going to be running as a organization, and they're not going to be short on finances here at the end of the year thanks to some of these sponsorship opportunities such as SciApps. We also have Trevor Bayne making a return here to the Xfinity Series, as he's going to be running three races for them, including this most recent race here at Daytona International Speedway. Everybody really likes to see Trevor Bain come back, and I think he's done pretty decent in that number 19 machine. There's been some times where he's kind of come up a little bit short. He's still trying to get that big victory for this team, but who knows? Maybe he's going to be able to in one of these three events. The next two races are Bristol Motor Speedway, followed by Texas Motor Speedway. So very, very unique racetracks that he picked. Daytona, Bristol, and Texas, all completely different racetracks. Let's see how he plays out. It could work out really well for the team. It could fall short. Either way, Trevor Bain is back here in the Xfinity Series. And then we have Parker Kligerman making the big announcement for Big Machine Racing that he will be returning in 2024. This was the best bit of news that I saw here in the Xfinity Series. As most of you know, I'm a huge Parker Kligerman fan. I really enjoyed his time with Henderson Motorsports and that number 75 truck team. They've done really well in the past. This year's been kind of a struggle, but before then, when he was trying to get a full-time ride elsewhere, he was able to perform. Now he's here with Big Machine Racing, a team that usually ran around the 20th position. He now has that car right there in the talks for the playoff battle. Just by his performance alone. It's a small team, but he's been able to do a lot of great things with them. And for them to sign on with Parker Kligerman for the 2024 season, it just makes all the sense in the world. I'm very happy for Parker Kligerman. I'm hoping that he is able to continue this success with this team for the next year. And I think he's going to be able to. Maybe, just maybe, he'll be able to get this team its second win in its lifespan. Now let's move on over into the Cup Series, where we got some pretty shocking news regarding Stewart Haas Racing. Now, none of this is confirmed. These are all rumors right now, but still, they're pretty big rumors as it is. I think it was Jordan Bianchi. If you don't know who that is, he is one of the analysts for NASCAR. Not NASCAR itself, but he's a NASCAR analyst. Man, I'm trying to think of the exact site he's at. Either way, he's a viable source. That's what I'm trying to get across here. And he made the announcement that Stewart Haas Racing is looking to potentially sell two of its charters. Two of its charters. They're thinking about cutting that team in half. Now, the prices are set really, really high. They're set at $40 million to $50 million each. And if you remember a couple years back, I do believe they were at $12 to $13 million. So definitely a huge spike as far as value goes. Now, why in the world would Stewart Haas Racing do this? Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, they've been struggling tremendously being a four-car team. Back in 2018, it was working for them. But obviously right now with the next-gen car, it's been pretty abysmal. There's only been one car that's been doing pretty decent, and that's Kevin Harvick. And even then, this year, he has not been able to get a victory. In fact, none of them have been able to get a victory over there in the Stewart Haas Racing camp. And that 41 team is mostly paid out of Gene Haas's pocket as it is. And then you could have talks of Eric Almirola retiring at the end of the season. That's a huge sponsorship. So there's three big reasons on why Stewart Haas Racing wants to sell these charters. They want to make sure that they can get at least two of their cars competitive back to the way they were. Those two more than likely being Josh Berry as well as Chase Briscoe, and you don't want to run unsponsored cars. It's just not feasible here in today's NASCAR. So we'll see who is able to purchase these charters here in the future. A lot of people are speculating maybe 2311 Racing. Maybe you have someone like Trackhouse Racing. You know they're trying to get Shane Van Gisbergen. Maybe you get Junior Motorsports making their move on up into the Cup Series. I really don't see that one happening just for the fact that they said $12 million was too expensive. You think they're going to go three times as much and say, yeah, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. No, obviously not. But yeah, Stewart Haas Racing could be cutting back at the end of 2023. We also had some announcements as far as another ride goes. This is the number 31 for Colic Racing. Now, as you guys are well aware, you have Justin Haley moving on over to Rick Ware Racing full-time next season. A move that was very, very questionable, but there must be something that he sees with that team, because he was more than happy to move on over and leave a team that he's been with since the very beginning. But that means the number 31 car is up for another driver to move on up or a driver to transition on over. Now, there hasn't been any names that have been leaked, but the president, Chris Rice, has made the announcement that the number 31 car is pretty much done. It is in good shape, and like I said from the get-go, I think everybody is going to be pretty surprised with what we're doing with that. I'm excited. Matt Colic is excited. Everybody that partners and everybody that is involved is excited about it. That's been a relief, and I've been able to sleep a little bit. So it seems like whatever's going to go on with the number 31 car, Colic Racing is not really that worried. And as far as drivers who could be going into that ride, it could be someone like Carson Hocevar has been up for debate. Noah Gregson's name has been out there. I don't think Noah Gregson's going to jump into that. But Chandler Smith has also been in the talks, which would make sense. He's running part-time already this year. I don't know. There's a lot of names out there. It's just going to all depend on what is going on behind closed doors with some other teams and see where they want to go with this. Who knows? Maybe they could get someone like Shane Van Gisbergen. That's highly unlikely, but at this point, it's all up for debate. But either way, do not be worried about this number 31 card. Do not be worried about Colic Racing, because the presidents and owners are clearly not, as they said they've already been able to finalize the deal. And then for the biggest talk here this weekend about the situation with Alan Gustafson, a lot of people have been calling out Alan Gustafson, saying he should be removed from the pit box, saying that he has been holding Chase Elliott back. Chase Elliott is really against this. He responds to the criticism, and this is what he had to say. That's not something that he and I are worried about. You know, he doesn't worry about social media, and I don't either. We have a lot of trust in one another and the job that we do. I think a lot of him, and I think he's a great dude. He's a great crew chief, and I don't really care what anybody says about that, because I work with him every week and no one else does. So obviously, Chase Elliott is standing by with Alan Gustafson, and there's really no surprise there. I mean, these guys have worked really well for the past few seasons. I agree, it was a bonehead move, but should he be removed from his position? No. No, absolutely not. He's a talented crew chief. He really is. I wouldn't say he's the best crew chief in the Cup Series right now. I believe there's some other crew chiefs that are up in that discussion and not Alan Gustafson, but he's right around the top five. And for every mistake he's made, he usually makes 100 good choices. So I don't think the removal of Alan Gustafson is the way to go. And according to Chase Elliott, he agrees with that statement. So those were the biggest bit of news to come out of this week here in the NASCAR racing world. Definitely some big news regarding here in the Cup Series. Maybe the 2024 silly season is still going to be really wacky during the off season. You also have some drivers returning back in the Xfinity Series. And also in the Truck Series, there's been some announcements with some drivers coming back, as well as some teams. So it's been really fun here this week. And you know how it is during the playoff times. There's more and more bit of news is going to keep popping up, and it's going to be exciting to follow all of it. But that is not why we are here. We are here to focus on the most important thing, and that is our last round of fantasy picks here for the regular season. After this, the groups will be reset to 5 picks for each driver. So right now you're just trying to end it on a high note here for the regular season before things get kind of reset. And this is going to be a really tough weekend, but we're going to do our best to try to figure out which drivers we want to go with and which drivers we want to stay away from. So without further ado, here are our top picks for the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway. Alrighty, guys, I think this is going to be a little bit quicker than what we usually see in these types of episodes. I think it's mostly going to be due to the fact that we don't really have to worry about saving our drivers for other picks, because this is going to be the last one before it gets reset. It doesn't matter if you've had 10 picks for certain drivers. It's going to get reduced down to 5. It doesn't matter if you have 0 picks for a driver. You can't use them for this race, but they're going to go back up to 5 following this week. So I think we just focus on drivers that we feel like are going to do really, really good here in this race, regardless of where they are as far as their point situation goes. Now, obviously, some of them are going to be more gutsy, so you got to keep that in mind. But overall, we're just trying to find out who's been doing the best and who we want to rely on here on this final race, this wild card event known as the second race at Daytona. Let's first start off with our top manufacturer drivers, and let's first knock off a top pick here for the Ford camp. Throw in Ryan Blaney, as he has been a very consistent driver here at the Super Speedways. His worst finish this year at Super Speedway events has been a 9th place finish, has led laps in every single one. He looks like he has a fast car once again, as he was able to qualify in the 8th position. He's always been known to be fast at Super Speedway, so there's no reason to shy away from Ryan Blaney. I think he's a top pick for the Ford camp and should be a really good driver to trust at with this weekend. Another driver to trust, we're going to stay with the Fords here real quick, and we're going to stay with the number 6 of Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski is still trying to look for his first win here with RFK Racing, and if there's any racetrack that he's going to be able to do it, I feel like it's going to be either here or Talladega, even though he's been really good at some other racetracks. I mean, this year alone, he's been able to lead quite a bit of laps as far as Super Speedway events go. The Daytona 500, he led 42 laps. The Atlanta races, he led a combined total of 66 laps. And Talladega, he was able to lead 2 laps. Even though that was his weakest performance, he was still able to finish in the 5th position. Fords have been very competitive when it comes to super speedways, and I think this weekend will be no exception. So throw the number six in as another top pick here for your fantasy rosters. Let's move on over into the Chevrolet camp. Chevrolet camp's not looking too good right now, I'm not going to lie, as the only one who was able to qualify in the top 10 that was a Chevrolet was Kyle Larson. And you know me, I ain't trusting Kyle Larson. He's just not a reliable source when it comes to super speedway events. But a driver who could put on a really good showing here could be that number eight of Kyle Busch. I know it's been a rough couple of weeks, but Kyle Busch can definitely turn things around here at the super speedway event, as he has been really good when it comes to these types of racetracks. You know, Daytona unfortunately was his worst finish earlier this season, but he was this close from winning the Daytona 500, led six laps right there when it mattered the most, and he was able to also win at Talladega. So there's really no reason to shy away from him. Yes, his qualifying position was 18th, but like other racetracks, this doesn't really play a huge factor as far as how they're going to perform in the race. There is a little bit of a showing there, but not too much. Either way, Kyle Busch has been consistent when it comes to super speedways, has led in all but one event as far as super speedways go this year, and that was the Atlanta race, and he was still able to finish fifth in that event. So yes, it's been a rough couple of weeks, but Kyle Busch should be still viewed as a valuable driver for fantasy rosters here at Daytona. And lastly, for the manufacturers, we got the Toyota camp. I think it's safe to say that the top pick here is going to be Bubba Wallace. You know, Bubba Wallace is able to start in the fourth position. He's had a lot of success when it comes to super speedway events. It's been a little off here this season as far as what we've seen in the past. He still has had himself some pretty decent runs. It's a little shame that his finishing positions have been 20th or worse, but he's been able to lead laps in almost every single super speedway event this year, just showing that he still has that good consistency as far as running near the front. He's going to do his best to get stage points. We already know that for sure, to just guarantee that if something happens to him, as long as there's not a new winner minus Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski, he should be locked in via points. So it's safe to say that Bubba Wallace is going to be a good option and should be a top pick for the Toyota camp. One more to go here in this group. Who do we want to go with? There's some definite options that to stay away from. That's the easy ones, but to say who's a top pick, who's going to be running for the victory, that's kind of tough. You know what? Let's throw Chris Buescher into the mix. I'd say Chris Buescher deserves a look at as far as a top pick goes. Atlanta has not been a great showing for him as far as finishes go, even though he's led laps in both those events. But however, when it comes to the original super speedways like Daytona and Talladega, fourth place finish, third place finish, led 32 laps at Daytona. He looks really strong right now thanks to his two victories. Yeah, you know what? I really like Chris Buescher as a top pick. If we feel like Brad Keselowski is going to be running well, then you know his teammate's going to be right there in the mix. RFK Racing has always been able to do that when it comes to super speedways ever since Brad Keselowski has moved on over. So those are our top picks here for this weekend. We have the number 12 of Ryan Blaney, the number 6 of Brad Keselowski, the number 8 of Kyle Busch, the number 23 of Bubba Wallace, and the number 17 of Chris Buescher. Now let's move on to our pretty good category. These are drivers that I feel like won't be necessarily the ones to beat, but they should be running around in the front of the pack, maybe around the top 10, maybe we can get some stage points here and there. That is this group of drivers. Let's include the number 20 of Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell has really shown his consistency when it comes here to super speedway events. This year alone, he's been able to get two top three finishes and three top 10 finishes. Only one rough finish, and that was the Atlanta race. Even then, though, that was a rain-shortened event. His average running position is usually right near the top 10, so I feel comfortable with relying on that number 20 car as a number 3, number 4 pick. Same thing with the number 22 of Joey Logano. Joey Logano is known as that driver who he's going to get stage points, but there's a good chance he's going to get caught up in a wreck. And he should be looked at as a fifth pick at the minimum, because I feel like he can still get a stage win. He's had some really fast cars when it comes to super speedways. He's led in every single super speedway event here this year. So that's one thing we got to give him credit for. It's just whether or not he's going to be able to finish the event. But as we've seen in the past at the Daytona 500, he finished second. And in the Atlanta race, he was able to win that event. So maybe, just maybe, he's starting to get away from that stigma of, yes, I'll lead at the beginning, but I'll be in the garage in the second half. So Joey Logano could be a viable pick here for this weekend. Another driver to consider, let's throw in the number 9, Chase Elliott. I know a lot of you Chase Elliott fans are just praying that he wins the race. I don't know if I see it. I really don't. It feels like there's always this one car stronger than him. And in this weekend, I feel like the whole Ford camp is stronger than him. It's going to be really tough to take down those Fords. With that being said, He's had success in the past. He's been able to win at Talladega. He was able to lead 18 laps earlier this year at Talladega. I know the Daytona 500 was a little bit of a rough showing. He got caught up in an early incident. But still, you can trust Chase Elliott. He knows how to get around these racetracks. He's been close to winning Daytona a couple of times. And in this type of situation where he has to put his cards on the table, more than likely he's going to do everything he can to finish near the front. I don't think he's afraid to bump someone out of the way or race aggressively on the final few laps. So Chase Elliott, at the very least, should be considered a pretty good pick, although I don't know if he's going to be able to win the event. But for you Chase Elliott fans, I'm hoping that he does, because it's going to be brutal to see your top driver miss out on the playoffs. Now we just got two more spots left. Who do we want to give him to? Why don't we give one to the number 11 of Denny Hamlin? You really can't keep him off for too long. Denny Hamlin has always been known as a great super speedway racer. His results have been a little bit off compared to the previous years, but you still shouldn't take him off your fantasy rosters completely when it comes to a super speedway event. Just don't expect 50 plus points. Expect more around maybe the 30 marker, 35 marker. That's a good showing for Denny Hamlin. So if you're thinking Denny Hamlin's going to be a good fourth or fifth pick, then he won't let you down. It's when those people think that he's going to be, oh yeah, he's going to be like that time when he won three Daytona 500s in a matter of a couple years. I don't think that's the Denny Hamlin we're going to see anymore here with the next gen car. Until we see it, we're going to see him as a number four or number five pick. One more spot here in the pretty good category. There's some options here for sure. Why don't we throw in the number 47, Ricky Stenhouse Jr.? You know, you had the Daytona 500 winner. He's been showing consistency. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, it's a fluke. He got that win. He got lucky. But he's been running really good here this year, and especially at the Super Speedway events. He's been running around in that top 10 mix, been a factor in a couple of those races, has led laps in half the events. So I really think we got to give credit where credit is due, and that is with JTG Daughtry Racing really making improvements with their organization as a whole and their program with Super Speedway events. I don't expect him to go back-to-back here at Daytona, but there is a chance he can score stage points, and there's also a chance that, yes, he could be able to finish inside the top 10 when it's all said and done. So those are the drivers in the pretty good category. We had the number 20 of Christopher Bell, the number 22 of Joey Logano, the number 9 of Chase Elliott, the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, and the number 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And now it is time for the gamble category. Basically, everyone you're going to go with here this weekend is going to be a gamble, but we're going to try to distinguish ones who are gambly picks in a gambly race. I don't know. Let's try to figure this one out here. So I feel like you should trust definitely the Ford camps. Lean towards more of the Ford camps when it comes to the gamble category. So if you want to throw in a Stuart Haas Racing driver, maybe Chase Briscoe or Eric Almirola, you can most definitely do that. As far as what the past shows, I think Eric Almirola is a better option to go with as a driver to take a gamble on due to his success in the past when it comes to super speedway events. Even though Chase Briscoe was able to get the pole, and believe me, that is very, very great that he was able to do that. I just feel like I don't know. I don't think he's going to be able to seal the deal here in this race. If he is able to, that's going to be a spectacular showing by that camp. But Eric Almirola, he's been able to lead quite a bit of laps here in the 2023 season. I think he is worth a spot on your fantasy rosters as a gamble. He's kind of almost in the Joey Logano situation where there's a chance he's going to get a lot of stage points. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to finish the race. So that's what you got to look at with Eric Almirola. But if he's able to get, I don't know, maybe 15 stage points, then keep him in regardless of what you think is going to happen there in the second half, because that's going to be a really good driver to have as a good fifth or fourth pick minimum. Another driver to take a gamble on, why don't we move with the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger? You know he's going to do everything he can to get the victory here in this race. And like I said, he's made improvements when it comes to super speedway events. A sixth place finish in the Daytona 500, a third place finish at Atlanta. The man has been making improvements for sure and has been pretty consistently running up front. Not going to be his favorite track, but as a gambling driver, yeah, consider him a great option. He may pay off for a lot of people near the end. I don't think he's going to be able to get the victory, but at the same time, I feel like he can be able to finish inside the top 10 or at least have his name mentioned as a top-tier contender. So AJ Allmendinger, yeah, give him a chance as far as a gambling pick goes. Also, you want to give a chance to Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs is right up there with the Toyota camp of Bubba Wallace, as well as the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. You know they're going to be doing what they can to get him into the mix. Not Bubba Wallace, obviously, but Joe Gibbs Racing, they definitely want him to make it in. So he's worth the gamble just in that fact alone. Now we just have two more spots left. Why don't we give it to Daniel Suarez? I think Daniel Suarez has been able to show some good finishes, a couple of top 10 finishes here this year at Super Speedways. He's another one of those drivers who's in a must-win situation. Yes, he qualified 22nd, but that's been his qualifying position all throughout Super Speedway events. Even though he's got multiple top 10 finishes, he always qualifies between 22nd and 26th. So I wouldn't be stressed out about that. There's a chance he's going to be there at the end. And as far as the final spot goes, man, I used up a bunch of picks there for some drivers here on the cusp. Now I got to be really smart on who this last one should be. Should it be someone like Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, Justin Haley, maybe Todd Gillen for those people who are hoping for a huge gamble? Why don't we go with the number two of Austin Cindric? I'm going to give Austin Cindric one last freaking chance to redeem himself this season. He has been getting good finishes. He really has been when it comes to Super Speedway events. It's mostly been Atlanta, but his average running position in the Daytona 500 was around 10th. Talladega was a little bit of a rough showing, but he has shown the speed. As far as qualifying goes, where was he able to qualify? He was able to qualify in the 16th position, right around the likes of Joey Logano, Christopher Bell, AJ Allmendinger, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin. That's a good mix to be starting off with there. So he's going to be right there in that pack, be able to move up front, maybe get some stage points. He's obviously going to be going for the victory, but he's been able to win a Daytona 500 in the past. He's been able to win in the Daytona in the Xfinity Series. So he's at the very least worth that gamble. As far as who I would go with the most out of these five, I think I'd go with Eric Almirola. I think Eric Almirola is the best option out of these guys. In the second spot, it's really a toss-up between any of these four drivers. It's just a matter of which driver you feel like is going to stay out of trouble and which driver is going to be caught up in trouble. That is what you need to figure out, and ooh, it's going to be an interesting weekend to say the least. So those are the drivers to take a gamble on. We have the number 10 of Eric Almirola, the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger, the number 54 of Ty Gibbs, the number 99 of Daniel Suarez, and the number 2 of Austin Cindric. And for our last segment here, we have the four featured matchups. Very important matchups here, as if you're able to get them correct, you're able to get an additional 10 points towards your final score for this weekend. And these are some pretty good matchups, I'm not going to lie. I do think some of these are going to be challenging. Most of them, or almost all of them, regard a teammate versus teammate, which is always really hard, especially here at these Super Speedway events. So let's dive into it. First matchup here, we got the number 23 of Bubba Wallace going up against the number 54, Ty Gibbs. I still like Bubba Wallace. I really do. I still think he's going to have himself a great showing here in this race. Ty Gibbs is mostly going to be relying on his teammates here in this event. Bubba Wallace has been shown in the past that he's running really, really strong when it comes to Talladega and Daytona. So it's really hard to shy away from Bubba Wallace. But if you think that Joe Gibbs Racing Camp is going to focus solely on Ty Gibbs, then maybe Ty Gibbs is the better option. But for me, I'm picking Bubba Wallace. Next matchup we have here is the number 48 of Alex Bowman going up against the number 9 of Chase Elliott. I'm going with Chase Elliott. Alex Bowman, he's just been too off here during the month of August throughout the whole summer stretch. I like to say 1 month, but no, it's been ever since the Coca-Cola 600. It's been atrocious for Alex Bowman. So yeah, let's give Chase Elliott the pick here. I think he's going to be running around near the front, and I don't know if he's going to get caught up into some trouble, but if he gets caught up in some trouble, then more than likely Alex Bowman will be in that same mix, just because you know how teammates stay close to each other. But give the edge to Chase Elliott. Third matchup here, we got the number 11 of Denny Hamlin going up against the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. This one's actually really tough. This one is definitely extremely tough. I'm going to lean towards more Denny Hamlin, although I'm not the most comfortable with that pick. I still feel like Martin Truex Jr. has been the strongest overall at every single racetrack we have seen so far here this year, minus Pocono. That's a tough one because Martin Truex Jr. does show consistency. Denny Hamlin has fallen off a little bit when it comes to super speedways. But overall performance, you got to give it to Denny Hamlin. I feel like still Denny Hamlin is the better option. I feel like Martin Truex Jr. can still be a driver who can get caught up in incidents real easily. So I'm going to lean towards more Denny Hamlin. And the last matchup we have here is the number 12 of Ryan Blaney going up against the number 22 of Joey Logano. Just on consistency alone, I like Ryan Blaney. Joey Logano can sometimes have a higher ceiling than Ryan Blaney when it comes to super speedways, but as far as consistency goes, I'm staying with the number 12. If you want to go with Joey Logano, that's fine. I totally get it. But I like Ryan Blaney more than I like Joey Logano. So those are my four picks for the feature matchups. I got Bubba Wallace over Ty Gibbs, Chase Elliott over Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin over Martin Truex Jr., and Ryan Blaney over Joey Logano. And that will conclude our fantasy picks for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. One thing I should mention here is I was looking at my lineup here for tonight's race, and I got nothing but top picks and pretty good drivers. So do keep that in mind. If you do have your top picks available, just use them. There's no reason to save them. If you want to take a gamble on some other drivers, you're more than welcome to do so. I mean, who knows? Maybe Eric Almirola is going to be able to seal the deal and get himself a solid 50-plus points. Who knows? You're just trying to figure out who finishes first through sixth. You don't have to worry about what's happening next week. Just try to figure out who's going to finish 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as far as total points go. So keep that in mind as this race is going to be definitely a chaotic one. It's very, very hard to predict these types of races, but they are really fun to watch. If you want to watch this race, it will be at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern. It will be on NBC. The green flag should be dropping around 4:45 is what it's saying. So maybe tune in at 4:30 or 7:30, wherever your time coast is, because it is going to be an exciting race from beginning to end. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so. Just look up Vanilla Wafers on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or TikTok. As Instagram almost at 1,000 followers, guys. Thank you so much for that continual growth there. And just 100 posts, that means almost 10 followers a post. That's really, really cool to think about. TikTok has been really consistent and showing a lot of love no matter what. So thank you all to the TikTok world. And YouTube, I'm getting ready to post another video. This one will be about Alan Gustafson and whether or not he should be removed from his position as far as crew chief goes. You guys know my opinion there, but I do go into the history of Alan Gustafson being a crew chief. It's a little bit of a faster paced one, and you see my face a couple times trying something a little bit different, so hopefully you guys like that. But if you want to see that video, that's at Vanilla Wafers on YouTube. And then Twitter, if you want to talk to me during race day or just see me just post random shenanigans NASCAR related, that's at Vanilla Wafers 44 on Twitter. People always ask me questions there. I always appreciate those questions. I try to answer them as best as I can. Sometimes I miss them for 2 days and I'm like, whoop, sorry dude, let me respond back to you. And the last thing is, why don't we look at our final leaderboard for the fantasy league before we get into the final race of the regular season. Here is the top three. Stuart Haas Racing 14 is in third spot with 4,821 points. Then we have WV Chase Fan 9 at 4,839 points, and Redhead 69 at 4,912. Very, very strong performances by these three, but will they be able to hold on to the top three positions going into the playoffs? We shall find out. But let's wrap up today's episode, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.